97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, happy Friday morning. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. I just looked up and realized I'm not on camera here, Carl. The everything's changed this morning. I walk into the studio. There's some new thing in the background behind me. I mean, it's the 97.1 logo, but there's a black backdrop back here. I don't know who did this.
It's a good thing you didn't do that, Mark, or else I would have gotten an email about it.
Anyway, good morning to you. Things that do not affect your life. What's in the background on my Facebook live shot here this morning? If you're joining us on Facebook, happy Friday. Glad you're with us. Sixth day of September. And we're looking forward to a fantastic weekend weather-wise, it looks like. So if you got plans outside this weekend, that's a good thing.
The zoo game, baby.
I know. No kidding. Hey, I did.
How much did you watch last night?
I tuned out of the NFL.
I watched a lot of it.
A number of years ago, for the most part. Part of that originally had to do with the Stan Kroenke Rams abandoning us kind of thing. The other one, when they all went woke and started kneeling and the whole Colin Kaepernick mess and the way the NFL responded to it. I just hated how politically correct they became. Now, I will have to say, when it comes to NFL franchises, there may not be a more conservative NFL franchise than the Kansas City Chiefs in a lot of ways, including the fact that they have given a $27 million contract extension to Harrison Butker, who is a very conservative Christian Catholic, happens to be a great kicker, right?
And he scored a bunch of points last night.
Despite the wokeness trying to get him fired because he expressed an opinion they don't like from the fascists over there trying to get him fired, the Chiefs rewarded him with a new contract. Good. Merit-based. I love that. So I tuned into the Chiefs game last night for part of the first half. I didn't lose any sleep over it. But
they were winning at the first
they
half.
They were winning. They looked good, and I understand they hung on and won 27-20.
It was close at the end.
I knew some people that drove to Kansas City for that game last night.
Well, I know they had that rain delay. I went to bed in the third quarter. I was watching in bed, and I'm like, I need to go.
Yeah.
Not like I'm some huge Chiefs fan, but it is fun. I mean, it's just a sign that fall is coming, and I don't know.
There was the lightning thing that pushed it back 20 minutes.
I've always hated fall because as a kid, it always reminded me that school was back in session.
Yeah,
so
I never
looked forward to that. So that's not why. But I was torn, I will have to say, for a brief period of time last night because I was thinking to myself, hey, you know, I should wear that new Harrison Butker Chiefs jersey to work tomorrow. And because I wanted to wait till this morning, see if they won or not. They did. And then I thought to myself, well, I mean, I got on the Harrison Butker bandwagon because of his fantastic points of view. But then I thought to myself, the better shirt would be the one I did wear, which is Where's Hunter? And the answer is soon to be in prison. So that's something for us to talk about this morning as well. So I wore my Where's Hunter t-shirt, courtesy of my friends at Whiskey Dickerson. They had this printed up for me special and delivered it down here one day when we were asking the key question back when the mainstream media would not talk about the laptop or the crack addiction or the foreign money influence where he never registered as a foreign agent. None of that. And finally, he might be held accountable.
Yeah, but we're led to believe that Joe Biden wouldn't pardon him. No. It's a no, Karine Jean-Pierre says. Oh, come on. We know on his last day, he's going to pardon him.
One of two things will happen here. Either they're hoping that Harris gets elected and they'll let Harris pardon him after she gets sworn in. Or if Harris loses and they know Trump's coming in, one of his last acts will be to pardon his son.
But I don't think that would be a good look for Harris. I think that they would have Joe Biden do it on his way out.
I don't think so. They'd let her come out and seem magnanimous and say, it's not fair what they've done to Hunter Biden.
We're going to
pardon him. Now, if she does that and doesn't pardon Trump, that'll be pretty obvious that...
Well, she certainly wouldn't do that, so...
Of course she wouldn't. Of course she wouldn't. By the way, we are hoping to check in with one Griff Jenkins.
Oh, no.
Just,
That's going to happen.
He was just on the show yesterday, but I've already texted him this morning, and he told me he would join us. He's live outside of the White House this morning for Fox and Friends, and he's going to join us at about 6:20 to talk about the Hunter Biden situation yesterday, the shock guilty plea. Nobody expected it, but the interesting thing is how they tried to work that. They wanted an Alford plea, and the judge rejected it. An Alford plea is where you basically say, well, I don't think I'm guilty, but I will admit that the government has an overwhelming amount of evidence proving otherwise, so I'll go ahead and plead guilty to it, but I don't admit that I'm guilty. All it is a basis for appeal.
Right.
And the judge said no. So we'll talk to we'll talk to Griff about that coming up about 6:20 this morning. That'll be a good interview. We've also the shock ruling yesterday by a liberal federal judge on the wording of Amendment 3. Jay Ashcroft has been fighting this fight to have the wording on the ballot on Amendment 3 call it what it is. And what it is abortion up until birth on demand enshrined in the Missouri Constitution. Murder enshrined in the Missouri Constitution. But a liberal judge took the side of the lefties and said, oh, that's not proper wording for the ballot. We have to change it.
To reproductive health care and scaring the living crap out of everybody saying you're not going to have access to contraceptives and miscarriage care. That's just a lie. You have access to all of that right now. And abortion is not a thing in Missouri. It is such lies. And I'm sorry. One more comment about this. The fact that the judge accused Jay Ashcroft of getting political about it. This isn't about politics. Da, da, da. What? Your decision is everything that you just accused Jay Ashcroft of. It is sickening. You can tell in my voice, like, this bothers me.
Well, as soon as I saw it yesterday, I reached out to the secretary, and he's going to join us live this morning at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. So we'll hear from Jay Ashcroft on this coming up. I promise you that. First, though, Carl, let's get to our shortlist, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
We're going to open up our country to building homes inexpensively so young people and other people can buy homes.
How about that? Donald Trump laying out some of his economic plan yesterday. We're hearing some of this for the very first time, and we'll talk about the details on it coming up.
Will polls underestimate Donald Trump again? In 2016 and again in 2020, national and state polls consistently underestimated Trump's support. This was especially true in Wisconsin.
Yeah, they did. An interesting report out from Real Clear Politics this morning pointing out what the poll said versus what the final vote was in some key swing states where Donald Trump is right now either already leading or virtually tied with Kamala Harris.
If you tax unrealized gains, you're going to kill the stock market. Right. And it's going to be the ultimate employment plan for private equity.
Holy cow. If the Trump campaign does not make an ad out of this today, I'm going to be truly disappointed. Can I just say that that is Harris supporter and billionaire Mark Cuban admitting her plans to tax income you haven't received yet. Right. Unrealized gains would destroy the economy.
Tonight, a Missouri judge just ruling here in the last few minutes the proposed abortion rights amendment must be changed for the November ballot. A group sued the state saying it was written unfair.
It was written unfairly.
No.
Kim, didn't you?
That's not what she said, Mark. She said unfair. She should have said unfairly.
She should have said unfairly.
But she said
write the newsroom and correct her.
I'm trying to help Samantha there with grammar. So here's the bottom line. You know what's misleading? The words reproductive health care, because the health of the child is not protected at all if it's being aborted. If it's being ripped from its mother's womb, its health care is ignored. So I hate that phrase. Yet this judge, claiming to not be political, insisted that be the wording put on the ballot as opposed to the word enshrined, that abortion would be enshrined in the Missouri Constitution. I'm livid about this. And I assume it's too late to appeal it because they've got to get the ballots printed soon.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, I remember when I was approached by people trying to get us to sign this initiative petition. Remember that?
Yes.
And this gentleman approached me and he you know, said something like, well, you can't get, if this doesn't pass, you can't get miscarriage care. You can't get a DNC.
Yeah, a
I said, that is a lie. You're spreading lies to people. And the problem is, what percentage of our population doesn't take the time to look into this issue? And so when someone delusional like that makes that kind of a lie, a statement, people believe him. And it scares people to death. And then they feel like, well, I have to support that. I have to. I'm going to vote yes. You know, that's what's really sad to me is it's just it's fear mongering. And I don't know if this guy truly believed his lie, because when I called him out on it, he really got angry with me. And I wasn't even raising my voice, but he ultimately walked away from me.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. We've got to be as vocal as we can. If you support pro-life and you are against Amendment 3, you need to get yard signs, you need to get bumper stickers, you need to be on social media telling people the truth about this godless initiative petition that is on the ballot in November. You've got to be vocal, and we're going to have Steve Rupp on from Missouri Right to Life next week with details on how you too can get a yard sign and become more active in this, because you are going to be outspent 10-1 by the pro-death crowd. Just know it. I've already got evidence of it this morning. We'll talk about it coming up. Carl, let's get to the fray, please.
Tonight, a Missouri judge just ruling here in the last few minutes the proposed abortion rights amendment must be changed for the November ballot. A group sued the state saying it was written unfair. The judge agrees, and the next step is to rewrite how that amendment will look on your ballot.
Yeah. I've got to keep talking about this for just a minute, because I need the people that listen to this show, and I know that a lot of you agree with me. There are some out there who don't, and I that's fine. You're entitled to your opinion. You can be wrong if you want. That's okay. We'll try to change your mind. But you need to understand what we're up against in this fight. Now, yes, did we get screwed royally by a group of Missouri senators, Caleb Rowden, Cindy O'Loughlin, who didn't allow us to at least make it fair that you had to get 50% plus one in most of the state to amend the Missouri Constitution. They screwed us on that. And now here we are facing a biased judge who's going to put language in this amendment that's going to confuse all of the low information voters, and almost all of them are, who are pro-murder, because if they paid attention to detail, they could never support what goes on in abortion clinics. And they're going to go in and read this flowery language and make it sound like they're really protecting your reproductive freedom. And it's just garbage. Is it freedom to murder? Do you have freedom to go out on the street and shoot somebody today? No, you don't. So you need to understand what we're up against. The changing of this wording to reproductive health care, there's probably not time to change it. But I need you to understand what's gone on. There's a group called Missourians for Constitutional Freedom. You know what that is, Kim? That's the pro-Planned Parenthood pack that's been put together to try to get this thing pushed through, right? As of their July report with the Missouri Ethics Commission, they had $1.74 million on hand. I'm sorry, 1.9, it says here. At the date of this report, at the end of July, $1.9 million to spend on TV commercials and misleading ads in this state to try to lie about this issue.
And how much of that is out of state money? That's not Linda down the street donating her $10.
So
that's dark money.
So here, a couple of reports were just filed. The Vote No on 3 campaign got $20,000 from Diane Snively. It got $10,000 from Marianne Buckner. That's $30,000 total in this report. Missourians for Constitutional Freedom received a single check from somebody in Carmel, Indiana for $250,000. Outside money is trying to poison the well in Missouri, and you need to be aware of what we're up against. We'll talk to Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft about 8 minutes after 7. Stay tuned for that. We'll be back.
Kim on a whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
We all know that iconic scene.
She killed Jack.
There was room on the door.
Mythbusters proved both could have done it.
They absolutely could have.
Yeah.
I stand by that.
She committed him to the depths because she was embarrassed by the fact that he was of lesser stature.
Jack, I'll never let go. Do I sound just like her?
Yes. help.
You need a whistle.
It is such an iconic movie. I love Titanic, even though it's really sad.
Yes.
But the reason I play that is because the actual Titanic, part of the railing that obviously they're depicting in that scene, like a 15-foot stretch of that railing, just like in the last number of days, fell off of the actual Titanic that's sitting at the bottom of the ocean.
Wow.
And now there's a debate over what should be done with it. And it's funny because my older sister is a very big Titanic fan. She's in like Titanic fan group pages and stuff. It's really funny. We give her a hard time about it. And she's the one who brought this up to me. And I actually think it's really interesting. So basically, this guy, Bob Ballard, discovered the Titanic at the bottom of the ocean back in 1985. And at the time, he'd said, you know, I'm going to promise to never take anything from it just out of respect. I feel like we just need to leave it as it is. Well, a year later, and I did not know this until I started reading more about it. A year later, after he discovered that wreckage in 1985, Congress passed the RMS Titanic Maritime Memorial Act of 1986 to encourage anybody in the world, really, to go down there and to explore and to potentially salvage some of the items from that wreckage.
And it killed a whole bunch of people. The submersible was going down there to see the Titanic.
Well, you're talking about recently?
Mm-hmm.
Right. The most recent one. Yes, you're right. It was deadly. But anyway, what I just referred to, that was signed into law by President Reagan in 1986. And what ended up coming from that was this group that's now known as RMS Titanic Inc. They decided to go on this expedition to try to salvage some of these things. And they did. And it worked out in court that they now have the exclusive rights to anything from the Titanic. So they're the only ones who can go there and actually bring something up, because they're saying there's stuff everywhere. On that initial expedition, right, they recovered about 1,800 artifacts. And of course, those are in museums. I've seen them. I went to the Titanic Museum, if you've ever been in Branson.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. I love stuff like that. So now people are debating, is that basically like a graveyard? And people say you're what do they call it?
Grave robbing.
Thank you. You're grave robbing by going and taking some of those items from the wreckage. You need to leave it as it is out of respect. Or should we encourage people to go and pull some of those items? Now, again, only one group can do it. But should we encourage them to go get some of these items? And that this just doesn't just apply, of course, to the Titanic. Obviously, that's what we're talking about now. But that would apply to anything, really. Do you leave it as it is? Or is it okay to take some of these items, preserve them, and then have them on display in museums for all of us
to
see?
Well, as a spokesman for Archaeologists of America, I would just have to say that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
But I think you should be able to salvage
it. We'd all be without a job if you did that. Speaking as an archaeologist, you know, an archaeologist who appreciates dinosaur teeth.
Thank you, Indiana Jones.
If you did something dumb like that, we'd all be out of a job. Our little whisk brooms, we're out there trying to sift through things and find more dinosaur bones, shouldn't you just leave those alone out of respect?
I think the person who chiseled your dinosaur tooth in a lab, you're right, they would have been out of a job.
It was in Morocco.
Oh, the lab was in Morocco?
Somebody else got one too? No, the dinosaur was in Morocco.
Do you know the name of the lab in Morocco, Carl?
No, it wasn't a lab.
They grew it and then chiseled it?
I believe it was somewhere in Hong Kong.
And then typed up a letter of authenticity to tell Mark Cox it's a real dinosaur tooth.
But come on. I mean, we do
Walmart.
We do play both sides of this issue, right? Like if you're trying to build a new building and you come across a bone and they determine it's part of a Native American site that's 1,000 years old, then
it halts the entire project.
They'll waste millions of dollars stopping the entire project while they dig up the one bone and determine it's got to be moved 75 feet and reburied.
And what they probably did was they went and got one of those big dog bones from Walmart, buried it, and then they think, this must be a dinosaur bone.
No,
halt the project.
But it's dumb. It's just dumb. People live every day. People die every day. For us to act like we can't go in and disturb something that's 150 years old, it's only disintegrating at this point. If there's anything valuable down there, for God's sake, bring it up.
I agree. I think we should bring it up. I mean, think about how much we've been blessed by seeing these items at museums. Now, I think about, like, I went to the Holocaust Museum, and I understand that's very different. This is at the bottom of the ocean. It wasn't in anyone's way. But, like, that being at, like, the Holocaust Museum, for example, like, that is so incredible because you can't even possibly understand how devastating that was. And seeing some of the things that they've recovered from these horrific things, like 9/11, it brings you there. It helps you get a better understanding of what that might have been like. Like diaries people have kept, and I don't know. Like, I think that stuff is so fascinating, and it's such a great opportunity to learn about our country's history, whether it be something we celebrate or something extremely dark.
The better question here, and I got to be honest with you, when you played that theme song and you started talking about this, I really thought you were going to gripe about Leonardo DiCaprio's love life.
Well, he does date women who are about 40 years younger than him, and that's very odd.
There is a direct correlation to that and the size of his bank account.
Carl.
I said bank account, Carl. That's absolutely what that is. How many women would date their grandpa? Right?
When you phrase it like that.
Unless there was something in it for them, right? So my point is, none of these 30-year-old women are dating 60-year-old men out of love and lust. They're doing it because they think they're going to get something out of it. I'm sorry.
No,
I'm a cynic, but I truly believe that.
I would generally agree with that statement. There might be some outliers.
Might be an exception.
There are probably some exceptions, and they look at them as mature. They look up to them. I can understand there would be various reasons why you would want to be married to someone who is older. However, when you have that large of an age gap, I do tend to question a little bit about what are your motives? Like, what is it? Again, there are some outliers, who I think there is true love there.
I mean, occasionally I'll get messages on Facebook Messenger from some drop-dead gorgeous women in Russia, and I usually ignore them. But, I mean, I know that ultimately they've just seen my picture and fallen deeply in love
that
with
is
me.
That is it.
They can't help themselves.
Right. Yes. I think it's the TikTok dances that you do.
And, Mark, I want to remind everyone what we got on the microphone on the,
Odyssey,
on the Odyssey app yesterday.
Yeah.
Call from my son. He said, "Hey, Dad, you remember that dinosaur tooth you got me from Morocco? Mark Cox has got one as well. Enjoy your day."
Thank you very much. What was his name, Carl?
Mark.
Mark. Thank you, Mark. Very, very brilliant.
Suckers
there.
Born.
He did the same thing
did
Mark, I did.
Did this Mark change his voice
with
and record
K.
something?
Mark
oh,
with a K.
Okay.
Mark
yeah.
with a K.
Spelled
See?
Wrong.
And he gave it to his son. I got it for my grandson. He's going to treasure that forever. If he even knows where it is right now, he's going to treasure it forever.
He doesn't need to know that it came from a lab.
It didn't come from a lab. It's a million years old. What's wrong with you?
Sure.
Why are you laughing about that?
Oh, sorry to change the subject, but Tina's saying that I need to go to Noah's Ark in Kentucky. Yes, that is on my list of places I would like to go.
Yes, me too. The Ark.
Mm-hmm.
could.
Hey, there might be some dinosaur bones you could salvage there, Mark.
I do not believe that he included any dinosaurs on the ark. Do you? No, Noah didn't invite any dinosaurs.
I know people talk about that because it's, well, it's
Jesus
not like
wrote
they,
a dinosaur.
It's not like they say the word dinosaur, but there are things in the Bible that would point to something that could be assumed were what the dinosaurs were.
Okay.
Well, that's a different Kim on the whim, right?
Moving
dinosaurs.
Right along,
well, I'll put that on my list.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more. We'll talk a little bit more about the president's economic plans that he rolled out when we come back in just a minute. Stay tuned.
Good morning. This is Greg. Are there no rich conservatives that are willing to donate a bunch of money to fight baby murder? That always confuses me.
Apparently not enough, Greg. It would be the answer to that question. We're in the... And I don't know for sure if he's contributed anything or not. But where are people like Rex Singfeld and some of these other well-known people who contribute, generally speaking, to Republicans?
I ask myself the same question Greg asks all the time.
It's disturbing. And if you want a list of some sick and twisted people, go to the Missouri Ethics Commission and type in the name of the Missourians for Constitutional Freedom there under the search. You can pull up the most recent report that they have filed with the state, and you can see the ton of outside money coming into Missouri to try to enshrine abortion, the murder of young, innocent children, into the Missouri Constitution. That's what it is. I don't care what the liberal judge is changing the language to. That's what it is. I'm going to read you a few examples of it because I know that most of you could write a check tomorrow for $25,000 to your favorite cause. Gary Mark Lauder from Atherton, California, wrote a $25,000 check to Missourians for Constitutional Freedom. Let's go down the list here and see the others from out of state. There's Planned Parenthood out in Overland Park, Kansas, $30,000 they contributed. The American Civil Liberties Union, $8,500 they contributed. It just goes on and on. Now, there are
Kim on a whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
We all know that iconic scene.
She killed Jack.
There was room on the door.
Mythbusters proved
Kate
they
Winslet.
Both could have done it.
They absolutely could have.
Yeah.
I stand by that.
She committed him to the depths because she was embarrassed by the fact that
Jack,
he was of lesser stature.
Jack, I'll never let go. Do I sound just like her?
Yes. help.
You need a whistle.
It is such an iconic movie. I love Titanic, even though it's really sad.
Yes.
But the reason I play that is because the actual Titanic, part of the railing that obviously they're depicting in that scene, like a 15-foot stretch of that railing, just like in the last number of days, fell off of the actual Titanic that's sitting at the bottom of the ocean.
Wow.
And now there's a debate over what should be done with it. And it's funny because my older sister is a very big Titanic fan. She's in like Titanic fan group pages and stuff. It's really funny. We give her a hard time about it. And she's the one who brought this up to me. And I actually think it's really interesting. So basically, this guy, Bob Ballard, discovered the Titanic at the bottom of the ocean back in 1985. And at the time, he'd said, you know, I'm going to promise to never take anything from it just out of respect. I feel like we just need to leave it as it is. Well, a year later, and I did not know this until I started reading more about it. A year later, after he discovered that wreckage in 1985, Congress passed the RMS Titanic Maritime Memorial Act of 1986 to encourage anybody in the world, really, to go down there and to explore and to potentially salvage some of the items from that wreckage.
And it killed a whole bunch of people. The submersible was going down there to see the Titanic.
Well, you're talking about recently?
Mm-hmm.
Right. The most recent one. Yes, you're right. It was deadly. But anyway, what I just referred to, that was signed into law by President Reagan in 1986. And what ended up coming from that was this group that's now known as RMS Titanic Inc. They decided to go on this expedition to try to salvage some of these things. And they did. And it worked out in court that they now have the exclusive rights to anything from the Titanic. So they're the only ones who can go there and actually bring something up, because they're saying there's stuff everywhere. On that initial expedition, right, they recovered about 1,800 artifacts. And of course, those are in museums. I've seen them. I went to the Titanic Museum, if you've ever been in Branson.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. I love stuff like that. So now people are debating, is that basically like a graveyard? And people say, you're what do they call it?
Grave robbing.
Thank you. You're grave robbing by going and taking some of those items from the wreckage. You need to leave it as it is out of respect. Or should we encourage people to go and pull some of those items? Now, again, only one group can do it. But should we encourage them to go get some of these items? And that this just doesn't just apply, of course, to the Titanic. Obviously, that's what we're talking about now. But that would apply to anything, really. Do you leave it as it is? Or is it okay to take some of these items, preserve them, and then have them on display in museums for all of us
to
see?
Well, as a spokesman for Archaeologists of America, I would just have to say that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
But I think you should be able to salvage
it. We'd all be without a job if you did that. Speaking as an archaeologist, an archaeologist who appreciates dinosaur teeth.
Thank you, Indiana Jones.
If you did something dumb like that, we'd all be out of a job. We do our little whisk brooms. We're out there trying to sift through things and find more dinosaur bones. Shouldn't you just leave those alone out of respect?
I think the person who chiseled your dinosaur tooth in a lab, you're right, they would have been out of a job.
It was in Morocco.
Oh, the lab was in Morocco?
Somebody else got one too? No, the dinosaur was in Morocco.
Do you know the name of the lab in Morocco, Carl?
No, it wasn't a lab.
They grew it and then chiseled it?
I believe it was somewhere in Hong Kong.
And then typed up a letter of authenticity to tell Mark Cox it's a real dinosaur tooth?
But come on. I mean,
Walmart.
We do play both sides of this issue, right? Like if you're trying to build a new building and you come across a bone and they determine it's part of a Native American site that's 1,000 years old, then
it halts the entire project.
They'll waste millions of dollars stopping the entire project while they dig up the one bone and determine it's got to be moved 75 feet and reburied.
And what they probably did was they went and got one of those big dog bones from Walmart, buried it, and then they think, This must be a dinosaur bone.
No.
Halt the project.
But it's dumb. It's just dumb. People live every day. People die every day. For us to act like we can't go in and disturb something that's 150 years old, it's only disintegrating at this point. If there's anything valuable down there, for God's sake, bring it up.
I agree. I think we should bring it up. I mean, think about how much we've been blessed by seeing these items at museums. Now, I think about, like, I went to the Holocaust Museum, and I understand that's very different. This is at the bottom of the ocean. It wasn't in anyone's way. But, like, that being at, like, the Holocaust Museum, for example, like, that is so incredible because you can't even possibly understand how devastating that was. And seeing some of the things that they've recovered from these horrific things, like 9/11, it brings you there. It helps you get a better understanding of what that might have been like. Like diaries people have kept, and I don't know. I think that stuff is so fascinating, and it's such a great opportunity to learn about our country's history, whether it be something we celebrate or something extremely dark.
The better question here, and I got to be honest with you, when you played that theme song and you started talking about this, I really thought you were going to gripe about Leonardo DiCaprio's love life.
Well, he does date women who are about 40 years younger than him, and that's very odd.
There is a direct correlation to that and the size of his bank account.
Carl.
I said bank account, Carl. That's absolutely what that is.
How many
women would date their grandpa? Right?
When you phrase it like that.
Unless there was something in it for them, right? So my point is, none of these 30-year-old women are dating 60-year-old men out of love and lust. They're doing it because they think they're going to get something out of it. I'm sorry.
No,
I'm a cynic, but I truly believe that.
I would generally agree with that statement. There might be some outliers.
Might be an exception.
There are probably some exceptions, and they look at them as mature. They look up to them. I can understand there would be various reasons why you would want to be married to someone who is older. However, when you have that large of an age gap, I do...
And a pattern.
I do tend to question a little bit about what are your motives? Like, what is it? Again, there are some outliers, who I think there is true love there.
I mean, occasionally I'll get messages on Facebook Messenger from some drop-dead gorgeous women in Russia, and I usually ignore them. But, I mean, I know that ultimately they've just seen my picture and fallen deeply in love
with me.
That is it. They can't help themselves.
Right. Yes. I think it's the TikTok dances that you do.
And, Mark, I want to remind everyone what we got on the microphone on the... Odyssey app yesterday.
Yeah.
Call from my son. He said, "Hey, Dad, you remember that dinosaur tooth you got me from Morocco? Mark Cox has got one as well. Enjoy your day."
Thank you very much. What was his name, Carl?
Mark.
Mark. Thank you, Mark. Very, very brilliant.
Sucker's
there.
Born.
He did the same thing
Mark,
I did.
Did this Mark change his voice and
with
record something? Oh, okay.
Mark with a K.
Spelled
See?
Wrong.
And he gave it to his son. I got it for my grandson. He's going to treasure that forever. If he even knows where it is right now, he's going to treasure it forever.
He doesn't need to know that it came from a lab.
It didn't come from a lab. It's a million years old. What's wrong with you?
Sure.
Why are you laughing about that?
Oh, sorry to change the subject, but Tina's saying that I need to go to Noah's Ark in Kentucky. Yes, that is on my list of places I would like to go.
Yes, the Ark. Me too. The Ark.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Hey, there might be some dinosaur bones you could salvage there, Mark.
I do not believe that he included any dinosaurs on the ark. Do you? No, it didn't invite any dinosaurs.
I know people talk about that because it's not like they say the word dinosaur, but there are things in the Bible that would point to something that could be assumed were what the dinosaurs were. Well, that's a different Kim on the whim, right?
Moving
dinosaurs.
Right along,
well, I'll put that on my list.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more. We'll talk a little bit more about the president's economic plans that he rolled out when we come back in just a minute. Stay tuned.
Good morning. This is Greg. Are there no rich conservatives that are willing to donate a bunch of money to fight baby murder? That always confuses me.
Apparently not enough, Greg. It would be the answer to that question. Where in the, and I don't know for sure if he's contributed anything or not, but where are people like Rex Singfeld and some of these other well-known people who contribute, generally speaking, to Republicans?
I ask myself the same question Greg asks all the time.
It's disturbing. And if you want a list of some sick and twisted people, go to the Missouri Ethics Commission and type in the name of the Missourians for Constitutional Freedom there under the search. You can pull up the most recent report that they have filed with the state, and you can see the ton of outside money coming into Missouri to try to enshrine abortion, the murder of young, innocent children, into the Missouri Constitution. That's what it is. I don't care what the liberal judge is changing the language to. That's what it is. I'm going to read you a few examples of it because I know that most of you could write a check tomorrow for $25,000 to your favorite cause. Gary Mark Lauder from Atherton, California, wrote a $25,000 check to Missourians for Constitutional Freedom. Let's go down the list here and see the others from out of state. There's Planned Parenthood out in Overland Park, Kansas, $30,000 they contributed. The American Civil Liberties Union, $8,500 they contributed. It just goes on and on. Now, there are some St. Louisans contributing smaller amounts. Here's $2,500, $1,000 from Kayla Vaughn and Dennis Roach on Newstead Place in St. Louis. But the majority of the big donations that are on here are coming from outside of the state of Missouri. The American Civil Liberties Union, the Fairness Project, they have to list these on here. They can't escape from it. These are not Missourians that are doing this, right, for the most part. Here is another $15,000 contribution from the American Civil Liberties Union, $700 from some guy in Kansas City. And then occasionally you'll find a few St. Louis liberals that have contributed money. Tom and Karen Stern have contributed $25,000 to enshrine abortion in the Missouri Constitution.
Why do they have such a vested interest? Unless you have some tie to Planned Parenthood, because we know they have an interest because it makes them a ton of money to be able to offer abortion services. Why are all these people willing to drop, in this case, $25,000 to make sure that this is enshrined in our state constitution?
I don't know. Our children, our future, Pasadena, California, $50,000 into the Missouri Fund for Missourians for Constitutional Freedom. The Clever Little Girl Foundation, which has an address of 48 Westmoreland Place over here in St. Louis, $100,000 they've contributed to this thing. There's $8 contribution from Fort Worth, Texas. These contributions are coming in from all over the country. New York, California, Massachusetts. They're advertising outstate to raise money, and they've got close to $2 million in cash on hand right now.
Hey, KMOV, are you listening? There's a story idea for you to do, because I don't feel like you typically cover that angle.
Oh,
KSDK,
hell no.
Fox 2, are you guys listening? Post-Dispatch? Mark Cox is giving you a story idea. Go dig in to this information. Go look up those people and ask them, why are you contributing $100,000 or $25,000 and you don't even live anywhere close to Missouri? You live in California.
Yeah,
why are you doing this? What's the goal here?
The goal is they're crazed leftists who, I guess they have Trump derangement syndrome, or they hate the Supreme Court, or whatever it is. There are a lot of smaller contributions also coming in from New York and Massachusetts and Mesa, Arizona, New York. I'm looking down the list here. $50, $25, $100, $15, $5. I mean, the dollar amounts are all over the place. But the largest ones are almost all from outside of the state of Missouri. Just so you know what you're facing. And to our caller's point, where are a few rich conservatives with their $150,000, $200,000 contribution to try to fight this? That's what needs to happen. Coming up, we'll talk to Griff Jenkins about the whether or not there is indeed a pardon out there somewhere waiting for Hunter Biden. We're going to be back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Good morning, this is Greg. Are there no rich conservatives that are willing to donate a bunch of money to fight baby murder? That always confuses me.
Apparently not enough, Greg. It would be the answer to that question. We're in the, and I don't know for sure if he's contributed anything or not. But where are people like Rex Singfeld and some of these other well-known people who contribute, generally speaking, to Republicans?
I ask myself the same question Greg asks all the time.
It's disturbing. And if you want a list of some sick and twisted people, go to the Missouri Ethics Commission and type in the name of the Missourians for Constitutional Freedom there under the search. You can pull up the most recent report that they have filed with the state, and you can see the ton of outside money coming into Missouri to try to enshrine abortion, the murder of young, innocent children, into the Missouri Constitution. That's what it is. I don't care what the liberal judge is changing the language to. That's what it is. I'm going to read you a few examples of it, because I know that most of you could write a check tomorrow for $25,000 to your favorite cause. Gary Mark Lauder from Atherton, California, wrote a $25,000 check to Missourians for Constitutional Freedom. Let's go down the list here and see the others from out of state. There's Planned Parenthood out in Overland Park, Kansas, $30,000 they contributed. The American Civil Liberties Union, $8,500 they contributed. It just goes on and on. Now, there are some St. Louisans contributing smaller amounts. Here's $2,500, $1,000 from Kayla Vaughn and Dennis Roach on Newstead Place in St. Louis. But the majority of the big donations that are on here are coming from outside of the state of Missouri. the American Civil Liberties Union, the Fairness Project. They have to list these on here. They can't escape from it. These are not Missourians that are doing this, right? For the most part. Here is another $15,000 contribution from the American Civil Liberties Union, $700 from some guy in Kansas City. And then occasionally you'll find a few St. Louis liberals that have contributed money. Tom and Karen Stern have contributed $25,000 to enshrine abortion in the Missouri Constitution.
Why do they have such a vested interest? Unless you have some tie to Planned Parenthood, because we know they have an interest because it makes them a ton of money to be able to offer abortion services. Why are all these people willing to drop, in this case, $25,000 to make sure that this is enshrined in our state constitution?
I don't know. Our children, our future, Pasadena, California, $50,000 into the Missouri Fund for Missourians for Constitutional Freedom. The Clever Little Girl Foundation, which has an address of 48 Westmoreland Place over here in St. Louis, $100,000. They've contributed to this thing. There's $8 contribution from Fort Worth, Texas. These contributions are coming in from all over the country. New York, California, Massachusetts. They're advertising outstate to raise money, and they've got close to $2 million in cash on hand right now.
Hey, KMOV, are you listening? There's a story idea for you to do, because I don't feel like you typically cover that angle.
Oh,
KSDK,
hell no.
Fox 2, are you guys listening? Post-Dispatch? Mark Cox is giving you a story idea. Go dig in to this information. Go look up those people and ask them, why are you contributing $100,000 or $25,000, and you don't even live anywhere close to Missouri? You live in California.
Yeah,
why are you doing this? What's the goal here?
The goal is they're crazed leftists who... I guess they have Trump derangement syndrome, or they hate the Supreme Court, or whatever it is. There are a lot of smaller contributions also coming in from New York and Massachusetts and Mesa, Arizona, New York. I'm looking down the list here. $50, $25, $100, $15, $5. I mean, the dollar amounts are all over the place. But the largest ones are almost all from outside of the state of Missouri. Just so you know what you're facing. And to our caller's point, where are a few rich conservatives with their $150,000, $200,000 contribution to try to fight this? That's what needs to happen. Coming up, we'll talk to Griff Jenkins about the whether or not there is indeed a pardon out there somewhere waiting for Hunter Biden. We're going to be back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.